I am so glad that the Lord saved. Brother Dana's talking about over there in West Virginia. And I got to thinking, there's nothing. Listen to me. And I know a lot of y'all are going to take my word for it. But there's nothing like preaching the gospel, feeling the presence and the power of God upon you, and then give an invitation and realize just how little and how vile you are, and watch the God of heaven as that gospel goes out, and watch God do what He does by the preaching of the Word of God. This book is it amazes me of the power that is in this Bible. Now, Sunday morning, I preached on this Ethiopian eunuch, and I want to get to one thought in that passage tonight in Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 26. It'll do to preach again. Amen. We sang Amazing Grace once. We don't tear that out of the red book. We sang her again. And so I like the power of the gospel. Matter of fact, maybe somebody tonight needs to hear the good news. And it's only good news if it gets there in time. If you're glad you got saved, say amen. Amen. If you're glad you saved on a Wednesday, somebody shout amen. Amen. The Bible said in Acts 8, verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake to Philip. Now Philip was having a time of his life. He was back preaching. Boy, people was getting saved left and right. And so he was on a great missionary journey, and all of a sudden, God talks to him. As I've already said, I'm glad we've got a talking God tonight. He said, I want you to rise and go toward the south to the way that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia. There's a man, a sinner man. He's a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship. He's like a lot of people that go to church. They go there with the intent to worship, but they miss the whole meaning of worship. Now, there's a lot of people that leave church lost. And that's what this man did. So he went up there, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. He is reading out of Isaiah chapter 53. You ought to read that in your Bible study. One of the most powerful chapters in the book of Isaiah, talking about the way our Lord gave Himself to the cross. And so he's in the chariot. Now watch this, verse 29. Here's a key to him getting saved. Here's a word that appears in capital letters. It says, and the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And so Philip ran thither to him. He heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and this is what he said. Understandest thou what thou readest? And now this is what's really standing up in my heart tonight in verse 31. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And watch your Bible. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the Scripture that he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. Verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? This of himself or of some other man? He said, Philip, I want to know, is this man talking about himself or is he talking about some other man? So we see a man, a sinner man. I'm glad God's interested in sinner men. Matter of fact, there's a lot of churches not very mission-minded. You better be glad we got a mission-minded God tonight. Because you'll notice what God done. I believe this with all my heart. Anybody that wants light from God can receive it. God knew there would be an Ethiopian man in a chariot reading the book of Isaiah. Miserable in his sins. Maybe some confusion. Maybe he had he's a very well-to-do man, but he knew that he just didn't have the joy of Jesus in his heart. Therefore, God thought enough of that man to send some man to a sinner man to tell him about some other man, which is the Lord Jesus. Now I want to ask you this tonight. Could God send you to a man? He said, now, I'd like to get cleared up on something. He said, do you understand us what thou readest? A man can't get saved till he understands where he is. And Philip's wanting to know. He's not in this hyper, super duper, easy believism professions. He's wanting to know, listen, do you understand what you're reading? And then he said, well, I want to give you an answer to that question. How can I? How can I? Maybe you're here tonight and you're wondering, how could I be saved? How could I have the concept to know that my sins could be forgiven? I'm glad He sent people in our life that not only He had a burden, but He would share His burden. Ain't it amazing? God sent the Spirit to Philip. There the Spirit was ushered from the throne. And there the Spirit had a message from God. And he went to one of God's young'uns and he told him what God was saying. Ain't you glad it still works and operates like that tonight? God sends the Spirit. He's got orders from headquarters. And He puts that in our heart of what God is wanting us to do. And I'm glad that God knows what He's doing. And when it don't make sense, trust what God is saying. Because His math is not our math. And His way of doing things is not our way of doing things. Now I want to hurry up and get to where I want to get to. Now how can I accept some man should guide me? I thought a lot about that verse today. It's just raised up in my heart. I wonder how many people that you're working with that need you like He needed Philip. I wonder, could God trust you to show somebody else how to get to where He is? A lot of people's wondered a lot of times, well, I want to know something. How do I tell people how to get saved? Well, what happened to you? But first of all, let's be sure what happened to you happened right. You know, I've noticed this, Brother David, it don't matter how much a man practices golf. If he don't practice right, he won't never get no better. So therefore, you got to know the fundamentals to practice right to get better. But I wonder tonight, do you have the experience of what the Apostle Paul had? Matter of fact, if you turned with us over into 1 Timothy, now keep in mind, he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And then we go to 1 Timothy this evening, and I want you to underline this. I want you to always have this handy in your Bible. If somebody asks you, how do I get saved? You'll know how to tell them. Look in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 15. Paul is writing now and he says, now, this is a faithful saying. And it's worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause, I obtain mercy. Boy, aren't you glad we don't have a God of justice, we got a God of mercy. You say, listen, preacher, God ain't fair. You better thank Him that He ain't fair. Because if He's in fire, we'd all, every one of us would be in hell tonight if He's fire. He's a God of mercy. Watch this. This cause I obtained mercy that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. Watch now. For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Now turn over to Acts tonight. Let's go to Acts chapter number 9. If Paul said that he was the pattern of all those that would believe hereafter, I got to thinking, going down the road this week, I passed by some real liberal churches, and I got to thinking, you know, we ought to thank the God of heaven that we've been under the old gospel gun. Somebody that would tell us the way to God. You would be surprised what people's listening to up and down these highways in America of what they call church on a Sunday morning. Let me tell you something. If we go into heaven, we better get there by the way Jesus said we could go, or we won't be able to get there. If Paul is a pattern to all those that would believe hereafter, where's the pattern? What's the pattern? My mama sewed for Public. Back in those days, they had patterns. She'd put that pattern out on the table, Miss Sherry, and I could see my mama. She would cut that material according to that pattern. You know why she used that pattern? Because it was to tell her what this was to become. Therefore, here's our pattern in Acts 9. Anybody that's going to heaven has to have this experience. You might not say these exact words. You will not be on the Damascus Road. But it's got to have this experience with Jesus in your life. You say, well, I've been saved. Well, tell me when you got lost. I'm not asking you, did you join a church? I'm not asking you if you've been baptized. I'm asking you, have you got an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ? Some experiences are different than others. Some are roof shaking, and some are not that type of experience. But this pattern will be there. You may not have wept and cried your way to God the way I did, but I believe this. I don't believe you'll be popping bubble gum on your way to Him. Now there was a young man one time. Moved during an invitation. My wife said it right too. She said, I thought so-and-so was moving this morning to get saved, but I seen they stopped and tied their shoe. And she said, then I realized they wasn't in trouble. What you saying? I'm saying, honey, when God gets on, you won't care if you got shoes on or not. Now, Paul said this, Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughterings against the disciples of the Lord, he went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if any be found of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. First of all, Christ confronted him. It's got to be a time when God deals with you as a sinner. He journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. Not only in verse 3 do you see that Christ confronted him, but in verse 4 you'll see that Christ convicted him. He fell to earth and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And anybody that wants to know him can find out. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, and said, Lord, here it is, what wilt thou have me to do? Listen, the day I got in that place right there, I'd have walked to Birmingham if that's what I had to do. But aren't you glad Jesus just says, come unto me. And I will in no wise cast you out. Now here's the pattern. Watch now. And I'll be done. Watch. Here's the pattern. First of all, he was confronted. Number two, he was convicted. Verse 5 and 6, he was converted. He trembling and astonished and said, Lord. What you mean, Lord? Oh, that's capital. See, he's not God today and Lord tomorrow. He's not Savior today and Lord tomorrow. He's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, tonight. He got under conviction and he called out, Lord. And the Lord said, arise, go to the city, shall be told thee what thou must do. The men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. And they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. Verse 11, and the Lord said to him, arise, go in the street which is called Straight, inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And then in verse 17, Ananias went his way into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul. All right, what's the pattern, preacher? Well, first of all, Christ confronted him. Number two, Christ convicted him. Three, Christ converted him. Fourth, Christ changed him. He arose. Then I'm glad in verse 17, Christ comforted him. He called him brother. Isn't that amazing? He went from a bother to a brother. Isn't that amazing? Now watch this. Paul didn't wake up that day and go down the Damascus Road and said, I'm a hunting Jesus. Jesus come to him. And when he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Things started picking up, friend. You see, God's got to get your attention. You're not going to walk around in this world trying to fill your tank up with good works because they're going to let you down. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter number 2, now talking about how can I, lest some man should guide me. Watch now in Ephesians 2 and verse number 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't work your way into heaven tonight. For we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Water baptism is works. Paying your money to the church is works. Let me ask you. He said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? You know, I've often wondered this, and I know God's so big, and I'm not belittling God, and I know God can do anything without us, but He chooses to use His people. Now watch this. At that tent that night, there was already, I know four or five men had come forward and accepted Christ. They were convicted of their sins. They came to Him, called upon God, the pattern, just like in Acts chapter number 9, Paul said, I'll be a pattern to all those that believe. Well, what happened? Well, God dealt with him as a sinner. Number two, he realized he is a sinner. And number three, he called on him Lord. Now, those people got saved. There was a boy over in the corner of the tent. He was looking down miserable. It's just like when we preach. Brother David, up on the podium Sunday morning, he said, Preacher, I'm so troubled for some people the way they look. I said, you're right, Brother David. But listen, when I looked over there, Brother Tim, and I seen this boy's countenance, and this is where I want to get to. He did not come forward. You can't pressure people into getting saved. Way too many children's been led in a little prayer, but nothing happened. And when our children come to this altar, the best thing you can do is say, how can I help you? What do you need? They'll tell you what they need. You ain't got to tell them nothing. Let them do the talking. But I was sitting over there, and I seen that young boy troubled. And I noticed there's this wrote all over him. And I went to that boy. Now here's my thought, Brother Tim. If I had not went that night, what would have happened? How can I, lest some man should guide me? Are you willing for God to use you to guide somebody? You say, well, preacher, I don't know nothing about the Bible. What I just read to you tonight is all you got to know about the Bible. What happened to you? Is there anything happened to you that you can tell somebody else about? Well, preacher, I don't remember getting saved. Well, you didn't get saved. Preacher, I've joined the church when I was little, but I don't remember getting saved. I'm telling you dogmatically, you didn't get saved. I cannot show you one particular thing in that Bible that you've got to say, but I can say this, you've got to get lost. Don't let nobody say you've got to say exactly this to get saved. It's when that heart turns to the Lord. When that heart turns. When I was sitting where my son-in-law was at, and Sandy Flatbatter said, on this third pew, that old preacher had come to my house on Saturday. Well, when I did this, you know what I said? Lord, save me. My life changed. Everybody thought I was done saved. I was meaner than the devil. I was smoking an ounce of weed a week that I'm ashamed of tonight. Nobody knew it but me and my wife. But thank God, there was a God in heaven that drew me by His mercy and His grace. And when I stepped out, my life changed. Has your life ever changed? I ain't talking about going through the motions and being religious. Religious people die and go to hell in their sin. You got to be washed by the blood. Oh, I'm glad there's hope by Christ. And Sherry, if you'd come tonight, I want to ask our church. This thing's rose up in my heart in such a way. How can I accept some man she got? Well, I want to tell you one thing. I had to have some compassion for that boy. This would blow some of you's doctrine out of the water. He had a dip of snuff big as my fist. He had on short breeches. God stepped over all of that. But my heart, Brother Wendell, my heart had to be tender enough that I had compassion for souls. Boy, when that still small voice said, Ken, go see him in a minute. You know what I simply said, Brother Tim? I said, did you know the Lord saved you tonight? I said, yeah. I said, do you want to be saved tonight? This is what he said. I could just tell it just wasn't quite ready. Well, I just walked away. And I got over here minding my own business again. And the Spirit said something. I walked over there. And I said, getting harder, ain't it? Getting harder, ain't it? And I seen when it broke. I said, if you'd call on me and save you. You know, if he'd call on you, he'd save you tonight. You know where the devil puts a lot of people in hell with their pride? Well, people thought you're saved. You'd be surprised at people that holds on. They've joined this church. They've joined other churches. They've even had roles in the church. And they're afraid what somebody's going to think, how embarrassed they'll be. Let me tell you something. I sure wouldn't let my pride put me in hell tonight. And you know what? This is what really bothers me, Brother Michael, Brother Mark. You know what really bothers me? It's when men will acknowledge their loss. They'll raise their hand. I've had them raise their hand in this church. And they're just not as troubled about it tonight as they was 8 years ago. That bothers me. That scares me for them. And you listen. The only way you're going to see people saved is have some compassion about you. When Philip come by that chair, he didn't say, throw your cigarettes out of there. Throw your liquor out of there. Go get your hair cut. Put you on some clothes. He didn't say none of that. He just said, do you understand what you read? Boys, that chariot got turned around that evening. He left his way rejoicing. Could you imagine? Instead of taking that whooper, hitting that horse, I bet he said, get up. He loves you tonight. Young man, listen, Jesus died for you. Sir, why don't you come tonight? Jesus saved you here on a Wednesday night. You've been troubled a long time in your heart. You've been so troubled. But it's going to take you to come to Him. If I could save you, I'd have done saved you a long time ago. I can't save nobody. But I can point you to some other man that's in the saving business. Because he's the Savior, man. And he rejects none. God rejects none that have come to His Son to get to where He is. Now you listen to me. If you go into heaven, you've got to come by faith to Christ. He reaches down and gets you, and He gets a hold of God, and He'll bring you together. He's our advocate. He's our go-between. Now I want to ask you tonight something, Christian. Can you lead others to Him? Can He count on you? Can the Spirit count on you listening and having a burden? What a burden Philip had. Just want you to go south. Well, what am I going to make? He didn't say. What's going to be the end of the story? He didn't tell him that. He said, I want you to go south. He could trust. Could he trust me and you tonight? My sister's going to play. This altar's open. Christians tonight, some of you ought to come pray. God's dealing with you about